Well, good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome our guests. I don't exactly know who that is underneath the mask, but welcome. So glad to see everybody. We have a number of people. Oh, Roland did make it today. Good. Number of people are out sick. And others, like Neil and Terry, they just texted that Neil, in his business, you know, he does therapy, and he found out one of his clients recently had COVID. So just to be safe, he's fine, he said, but he didn't want to bring it. So he's isolated himself from today. One more prayer request from this is from Joanne Jeans for her son John, who's in pretty bad shape with COVID pneumonia, I believe. That's what I had. That's pretty tough to go through. So pray for him. And for those online, welcome online. I just want to mention this to Clayton, for the gentleman Ernest. Mm-hmm. He's very glad to know he didn't pass away. Clayton, like, oh, dirty rat, you. I couldn't help it. Clayton's just, he never fights back. He's always an easy target. Yeah. It's unfair to pick on him. I guess it is unfair to pick on him. All right. We have a pretty important message I'm going to bring you. But before I do, I want to bring you a couple of things from some pictures I put into the slideshow for today. That after services today, everyone's welcome to stay. We may have to do this again because so many people who are out today for all the different reasons. Mm-hmm. Mary, she texted, she was running a nose, runny nose, and she wanted to be safe for everybody. So the initial game plan today is, and we'll still do it, part of it, is to we're going to have we have barbecue beef brisket sandwiches and baked potatoes and potato salad. We were going to have macaroni Mary was bringing. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to sit and have a snack on. For those who went to the event last week to be able to share with you all the enthusiasm, I got all excited Tuesday after we taped News Nuggets and Insights with the enthusiasm that they were sharing with us. So this is from a distant shot. One of the periods of time during the day, it ran from 9 o'clock till around 5, it was. And we have it also up on the big screen. Well, we set up a booth, and that's the first time we've been invited and allowed to go in and be able to bring what we teach, our beliefs and our truths. And so actually Mary had called this the truth booth. I thought that was pretty cute, the truth booth. So we hope and have the rolling truth booth this year. Maybe we go in other places and give you an idea of what all the stuff that they put together and on the table. And this is Don Trumbull, who's a former minister of the Worldwide Church of God for many years ago. He was a minister with them. He was also a department head in Big Sandy. And he was handling that for quite a few years at the college before they all broke up. And he's been volunteering, working with us as an independent minister in a church in Florida and working at the feast sites with us both in Daytona and also in Myrtle Beach. And he was a really big help. As they said, they was a trooper all day long, writing, taking lists, and getting information of people who wanted to be added to the mailing list and people who wanted to receive News Nuggets and Insights. So we want to thank Don for that, too. This is just showing you one of the paths going in and going out, and they'll tell you more about whether we were blessed to be able to have the table set up. This is from Chuck Baker and his family who came down from Myrtle Beach to help with that's his children with Don sitting there during one of the breaks that they had. And there's our team at the booth getting everything ready and set up. So we was able to put bags together. We put the inserts and the DVDs, and you all helped stuff those DVDs the week before when we were down there. And Clayton looked like he's packed up and ready to go. Again, picking on him again. All right. One of the things we asked them to do is if they would sit around and go through a period of debriefing. So that evening, we told them the church was sponsored to dinner wherever they wanted to go, and they chose the Golden Corral. It was a great choice. And sit through the events of the day and actually go through and see what we can do better next time, what might have been successful and what maybe wasn't successful. So going through all of that, they were able to bring back a lot of information that we can make a few changes and modifications for the next time, God willing, we get to go to another event. And I think this is going to be a good thing to do, is not only this group has more people. I think for them, I don't think it was the success they wanted. They were expecting anywhere up to 10,000 people, but there may have only been 2,500 3,000 people actually showed up at the event. So there was a number of reasons for it. Roland can probably tell you more when we get together after services today and about exactly part of the reasons why. But for us, it was a tremendous success. We got a lot of names. I'll tell you what was the most encouraging thing for me as a church and our outreach and things that we're doing, that as they gathered all the names on the pad, all the pages of information they brought in, 33 of the names were already on the News Nuggets Insights mailing list. Yeah, you too, huh? We had thought that this was just a fresh group of people that we had no contact with. And so what that encouraged me to understand that we've been watching our News and Nuggets Insight list grow every year, and we hear people from time to time say, oh yeah, I watched that last week. People we never heard of before, but this time, when they actually write down, add me to your mailing list, and they put their emails, addresses down, when Jeff put them into the computer, 33 of them were already on there. So that's telling us that not only are we reaching church brethren, but the target we've been after is those who are not yet in the church, preach the gospel to the world. So God's given us a program now that we can see now it is bearing fruit outside the church. Traditionally, when that happens, there's a 3 to 5 year period when a person first comes in contact to the church that they actually get on a mailing list of some type. You can't blame people these days for being secure. You know, it's pretty scary when somebody gets all your information. Then it takes 3 to 5 years before anybody ever donates. Because keeping the Sabbath is not like going from a Baptist to a Methodist church on Sunday. Sabbath keeping requires a life-changing experience. I mean, there's everything you got to go through to change your entire life. So to tell you what that's done, it's very encouraging to be able to see that. So God gave us a little glimpse of what we're doing is starting to work. So I think if we go to these events, if they hold more around the country, even if it's not just this group, maybe other groups, I believe we can help encourage other independent groups who are part of this work, be able to help their teams go to those events in their areas. So that's just something to think about. So I wanted to mention that to you. Here's May, and it's showing you the distance from when a person walks up to the booth, what it looked like when they first got there. And we had a nice mix of professional signs and some personable signs. So these were more making them more personal, more friendly, more family-oriented for people to come up. And we were about the only booth there that were giving everything away. I mean, everybody else is there. If Jesus was there, he'd have turned over the tables, being a Sabbath. You know, and it became a merchant's market for everybody who went there. And there's Roland, and he had a third table catching the people coming in the other direction. So we had them coming and going over there. Roland come in, would look like he was sporting a little British look to him in his cap there. But the deal was to sit there and talk to as many people as we could. So they'll tell you more about it. I just wanted to show a few pictures for those who are tuning in online to be able to see these things. So anyway, we're looking forward to it after services. If you can, we'll have snacks and we'll be good to talk. And there's not as many people here as we normally have. So I don't know if you want to hold that off and just eat and do this another time. But it's up to you all. Whatever y'all want to do, we're not going anywhere for those who want to stay. All right. Okay, we're ready. All right, I've got a really important message today. And in the times we live, the events that we're going through, and the time. Let's see, I'm just going to check my time on my clock where we're at there. Okay. Name of the sermon today is Wearing Out the Saints. Comes from a verse in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25. So I want to bring that out and ring that up to you now. It says in that verse, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And he shall think to change the times and the laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time." When you go through the scriptures, there's quite a few powerful verses, and this one is very powerful. And if you were studying English, the language and writing, you would find you'd have a topic, you have the subject, which would be primary, then you have a secondary. This is one of those verses that this would be the top of the list we're going through. So, Jeff, if you pull that script, that slide up again, I'm going to show you a couple things about this. In this verse, in this slide, I spent a great deal of time building a slide, the head slide, as I would call it here. But if you go through that, and I've never done it, I'm going to explain to you what we're looking at here, is that you've got a theme that's being built right here. Because God's talking about time, so all we had was we had a clock. You've seen a clock moving, talking about wearing out the saints. What in the world would I put a pair of shoes up there for? So what is that all about? I mean, just stick up a pair of shoes. He says, oh, that's for when you put your foot in your mouth. No. Think about it. So what are you looking at? So when I begin working on a subject, I have a really hard time going through the subject till I have something firmly set in my mind what I want to say. And how? The second thing is, how do I want to deliver the sermon? And the third thing, what is the visual contact I want to put across for this? But this is very important that you understand what I actually put up there. When you see a pair of shoes, we're talking about the wearing out of the saints. So I got a pair of shoes. Put that up again, Joe. So the shoes are all wore out. But the point of that was it compares a group of people who went through a time of wearing them out for 40 years in the desert. And the soles never wore out in their shoes. So when you go through this, what you're looking at is you're seeing the person in the right-hand corner. He's contemplating the thought of the process. And what you're looking at would be, all right, so here, with that person, he's counting the cost. See, the process is where he's at. It's all dark and dingy where he's at and looking forward. But see, further ahead, as he points to where he's going, it's bright, it's clear, it's sunny. And he's thinking about, so we go through the scriptures and keep in mind, God will never leave us or forsake us because our shoes will never wear out. So that's just one sub-thought that I wanted to put in people's mind when they go through each slide, what they're going through. So anyway, before I actually got into the service, I wanted to bring that out so that just I don't build them just so they look nice. I want to tell a story, and sometimes telling a story in pictures is very important. But if you don't understand the concept, so when I actually do the sermon, when I'm putting it together, once I finally have something in mind that I'm focused on. From that slide tells you where we're going. And so I thought that would be important to bring that to you. And we would do all that if I was doing a Bible study. It would be more interactive. I would try to bring that out. All right, so anyway, I just went through about 5 minutes to tell you about our first slide. So we'll begin the sermon now as we're going through it. All right, here's the point that we need to understand where we're going through. If we're living near the end time, we're living at the time where this becomes very important. So he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. So God's telling us who he's warning that we need to be prepared for and what we're coming to. To accurately understand the subject, we're required to understand a period of time where a series of events all come together to create prolonged stress and anxiety. And we're feeling that right now. And people who are not in the church are feeling that also. We look at the COVID, we look at jobs, we look at finances. Things are being strained right now, no matter what you're hearing on the news, on what side you're listening to, as far as the politics goes. It's not just any kind of anxiety and stress, though, but the events are all linked to end-time prophecy. Now, that's what God's focused on. When he called us out of this world, that's what he wants us to focus on, because that's what Satan is focused on, God's elect. Those events will be connected to a former and a latter, a physical and a spiritual prophecy of end-time events. So if you're going to go and listen to news and stories, you're going to see it has any relevance to God's plan of salvation. When you look at it, does this have anything in the Bible from the past or anything that he's left for us to understand? You can quickly weed out what's important and what's not important. So going through that now, we begin with the chapter in Daniel 7:25. So what I want to do now is when you understand the story, we understand the primary focus of the story here, you also have to look at the verses that lead into it and the verses that lead from it to get a complete picture of what it is God's beginning to tell us. In verse 21, he says, "And I behold, and the same horn made war with the saints." So now we know that when leading into this time that he's going to wear out the saints. Who? Is that the person who's going to begin that, or the creature, the being, which we understand is Satan and who he's going to use in this day and time, is that false prophet, the Antichrist, the beast power. He's going to make war with God's elect. Here's something else that we need to understand. And he prevails against them. in a physical way, God is going to allow him to be able to overcome, not destroy, but he's going to prevail against us because he's going to be able to stop the work that we're doing. And when God comes in, and he will take it from there. Satan will not win, and we will prevail, and that's what comes in later. It says, in the Ancient of Days, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So, see, this is not a contradiction between verse 21 and verse 22. In other words, there's a part of the work of God that's going to reach a certain point, and Satan's going to come in to try to stop that. He's going to be able to stop a great deal of what it is. That's where you begin to see the two witnesses will come into play, the work will continue to grow, but eventually the Ancient of Days is going to come in and we're going to possess the kingdom. In other words, the evil one will not have victory. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That's when does that take place? When the fourth beast shall come forth upon the earth. That fourth beast, as we understand, is the Holy Roman Empire. All right, and you see the periods of Holy Roman Empire throughout time. And every time we see it, from that time on, you begin to see the Catholic Church comes in play. And again, we're seeing that right now. It's no secret, and there's no reason to doubt what's going on when you look at our government, how it's being run primarily today by Catholics. Almost all the major hitters in Washington now are Catholics, believe it or not. That's not by accident. We began to see that take place when we had the warning came from 1961 to 62 with John F. Kennedy. He was the first Catholic president we ever had. And it's been the same way that every time Rome rises and the beast comes into play, it's because of the Catholic power. So we need to understand that. So now he also tells us of the time. The time, times, and the dividing of time, which we all understand is 3.5 years. I'm not going through this point, but I'm giving you the reference point to understand what Daniel's talking about. In his verse, you can go to Revelation, and you can see the comparison. This is 3.5 years. A time, 1 year, times, plural, 2 years, and the dividing of time, which is a half a year. All right, so now we're looking at, we know who's going to rise, who he's going to go after. We also know how long it's going to be, the power of wearing down the saints, and we also know that we will prevail. So all of this is being told in a few short verses. But in the middle of it all, there's a lot we don't know. So I want to go through that now as we go through this. Wearing out of the saints. I gave this chart last week, so what I want to do now is I want to bring it back in case you didn't see it, and I want to add to it. Whenever you see me working on these charts, to understand the time we are in today in prophecy, we go back and I start right here understanding the time period of the blood moon tetrad. That was the eighth blood moon tetrads where they fall upon two succeeding years on the first holy day and the last holy day on the holy days themselves. That's the eighth time since Christ. The number eight in Hebrews, if you didn't know, means new beginnings or first. It's the first of the week or the first of a period of time. This was the beginning, I believe, of God introducing that we're moving toward the end of days. I believe that's what God was showing us, and we've been covering that ever since then. All right, COVID-19. All right, before I get to that, in case you didn't know, Satan's removal, I put that with a question mark. We don't know. All right, we don't know. So why did I pick 2013? Because you see, when you go back to 2015, that's the day that the Roman Catholic Pope was in America. He picked. When Satan says he knows he has but a short time, how does he know? Well, I believe God allowed him to signal it to us. And by 2017, 2018, the whole world went crazy. He said, we got 12 years till the end of the world. They also said that we're fighting for the soul of this world. And that's what Satan's doing, trying to take the soul that God gives each one of us, the spirit in man. So all of that comes from the time period, and we drew the duality of time because of that. So we just picked the time that they put. And I put it here, and if you haven't seen it, there's a picture of the Holy Roman Revival. It's a three-part series that we have online. It goes into great detail about who the beast is, the Holy Roman Church, and why that is so important to us today. All right. COVID-19 has become the weapon that has breached the walls of our Constitution and the minds and the hearts of countless of millions around the world. So What do I mean by that? Breach the walls of our mind. I'm going to show you a parallel story of going through a physical versus a spiritual and showing us how, by breaching the walls of our mind, we become very similar to the Jews in World War II. What was it in the Jews' minds that thought it was a good thing to listen to Adolf Hitler, submit to the government, knowing that this whole thing was wrong, and walk to the death camps by the millions? Something took place in their mind that breached and said, we're better off doing what the government says. We have reached that point in America today with our Constitution that we say as a nation, not we individually, us and many other people now. And by the way, if you say that now, then you're becoming an insurrectionist, going against the government. I'll show you some of that today. But in the minds of tens of millions of people, it's better to give up the Constitution and listen to the government and march to our death camps. That's what I mean by the breaching of a mind to accept a government telling you what you believe and know to be true is not good for you. Isn't it amazing how many people are just telling you that? People that used to be your friends. People used to be family members. Now all of a sudden that you're in total agreement, now you can't. You know, there was a movie came on Turner Classic this week. I asked Audrey, I said, come sit and watch this with me. It was called The Moral Storm. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It was made in around 1940, and it took a little city in southern Germany, and how a professor, and it had Jimmy Stewart in it. They had a lot of the nice. I mean, this was a good movie, and it showed the mindset of how this professor was the most admired and loved professor in his university, but because he didn't go along with the changes in Adolf Hitler, how everything changed. His family, his loved ones that didn't agree, all of a sudden, now they're outcasts, and how they eventually killed him. Absolutely true, the types that was going on there. So now, let's go on with this. By the way, that's called The Moral Storm. If you've never seen it, you might want to look at it because it gives us a really good grasp about how human nature changes. One of the most important things we've seen in the periods of time we live today is God's seven-year time frame. In the 7 years, what they call Shemitah years, or we understood the seven-year land rest, they come into play. So when you put it together from 2015 to 2022, when you look at the United States in 2015 to today in 2022, a lot of difference, huh? Go back and just look at the debt, how it's changed. Look at the laws, how they're changed. Look at what's beginning to go take place. So now we're at 2022. We're beginning to enter into, by the end of the September period, we will now begin to enter into a new seven-year period. What does that have to do with us? Remember, this whole thing is about wearing down the saints. That's where I'm going to. So now to understand what a siege is and what a breach is, let's go look at something that we understand actually happened in the physical. This is found in 2 Kings 25, 1 through 4. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came and he besieged, talking about Jerusalem, until the 11th year of King of Zedekiah. All right, so that's, I'm not covering every single verse. I'm kind of briefly bringing it in. So what you're looking at is God gives us a specific time period when the siege around Jerusalem took place. And it lasted for several years. And with the reason, they just sit outside, they come up, they pull up camp, and then they just wait. And they starve the people out in the cities. They can't get food. They can't get water. Eventually, when it's weak, they breach the walls. And then what God gives us here is they breach the wall. It was on the ninth day of the fourth month. That is the ninth day of Tammuz. If you're looking on a Hebrew calendar, God gives you that. And it went on for about 3 or 4 weeks until the ninth of Av, to where the city fell. So you have a siege period, a breach period, and then a siege. Right now, the United States is looking at Russia because, see, they have seized that city over there, Yugoslavia, I believe it is?
Ukraine.
They have seized around that city, but now they're moving in different equipment. The different equipment, they say, now they're preparing themselves for the breach because the equipment they need now, they need to go in with. So that's got the whole world in the uproar because, see, they can move and they can see the stages of what's going on. And we in God's family have to understand spiritually, we need to see what's taking on spiritually. We need to see the periods of time where we went under the siege and a breach, and we need to be able to understand when you're coming under attack. The Jews couldn't understand it. They just marched to the death camps. We don't have that freedom as God's church. We need to be aware of what's taking place. I believe, and I'm going to pinpoint these times, and we've got the sermons now, over 60 hours of information where we identify all these different spirits, periods of time. So you have the siege. I believe in 2020, with the onset of COVID, we began to breach. The breaches in the minds of Americans around, in the world for that matter, around the world, is a breach to let the government take over their minds and take the freedom away that God gives us. Finally, you come into the assault. I believe, and I'm going to show you today, I believe we have just began. In this year, as this seven-year period ends, we are preparing ourselves, just like the Russians are moving equipment in. I believe the government and the nations around the world are moving their equipment in to be able to control people's minds, to tell you what you will do and what you won't do, what you will believe and what you won't believe. And I'm going to show you some of it today. I think we're at the beginning stage of that. 2018, I put it in a series. It was a three-part or a four-part series called America Under Siege. It's online right now. The breaching period. I believe we breached the mindset of people's minds in 2020. I just did a sermon last month, Repairing the Breach. I believe the mindset of many people, millions in this country, has been broken. Thinking, well, I know this isn't right. Well, I'll just go along with it and just do it. And I believe we're in that period of time right now. And now today, as I said last week, God willing, I'll be able to deliver this sermon today. And God willing, I am. Because I believe it is an important sermon. Each sermon I give is very timely and is very important because it identifies a specific period of time. I believe we are right there. If we look at a timeline in prophecy, I believe this is where God has brought us to be able to understand, looking at current events and where we are today. I believe we are right there. Now, look what God says in Luke 12, 51. This was when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He called them, "You hypocrites. How you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky?" I mean, they're talking about the storm. When you look and you see clouds coming, you know a storm's coming. Or you look at the sun in the morning, you know it's going to have rain or whatever. He says, you can do that. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? And I'm afraid that most of the churches in America today do not know the time frame they live in today. Many of them don't want to talk about prophecy, period. How can you not understand what we live in today in these events? And that's why I think it was so important, the event we went to last week, that you all were there, is to take those messages, because God says whether they listen or not, you go out and you tell them anyway. And the fact that we received 33 who are already on the mailing list says that the work is going out to some degree. That's tiny. That's nothing, 33 people. But what that means is it tells us that we're at the beginning. And God says before it's all over, and this is the confidence that you need to have so you don't get wore out, an innumerable multitude of people are going to be converted before Jesus Christ returns. That's a promise. Jesus Christ will not lie. And here's the exciting thing. God's given us a chance to be a part of that. But you've got to count the cost. And that's what I'm bringing out now, the counting the cost. So now, that's where we are today. So now, let's begin. If you notice, we took long periods of time from when we first started going from 1917 to 2017, 100 years. Then we went from 45 or 48 from the beginning of Israel. So each period of time, as we move closer and closer to the return of Christ, our period of time that we look at gets closer and closer to look at. And as we do that, more and more information begins to unveil itself from God. If you look at a map and you see the United States, and you zoom into a state, then you zoom into a city, well, that's what we're doing now with this time frame. So now, let's get that out the way. Now, watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to stretch this same period of time out now. So now what we're looking at is the period of time from 2022 to the next seven-year period of time. Now we begin to isolate our information right here. Just like Daniel 7:25, that isolates a period of time. It leads into it, and it leads out, and everything builds around it. So what God's been giving us now is everything is building around this period of time. So now, where are we on prophecy? There's the thing, is you don't know for sure. We don't know the day or the hour. You know, God's given us all this information, but where does it fit? So if we put it out there, we don't know where it fits, but we do know this. This is coming. Just as sure as you know Jesus Christ is coming back, this is going to happen. We just don't know exactly when it starts or when it continues to play out. But he gives us a few things we can look at that's going to guide us, because he says, just like the fig tree, you know when this will begin to bloom. You know the season. Well, I'm telling you, everything we're seeing, we're near that season of time. So here we have the original four seals. So when we look at the four seals, what are we looking at? We're looking at a period of time that we may be entered into or part of the seals right now, because look at Deuteronomy 28:21. The Lord shall make pestilence cleave unto you until he has consumed you from the land. Do you know the government's telling us now that this is not going away? The pestilence that we have right now, this pandemic, they said it's, you can't fix it. We have to learn how to live with it. Well, that tells us we're in this period of time where God says, I'm going to give you a pestilence and it's not going to leave you. Now, that gives me some clue that we're moving into this time period right now. There's something else that we know about. We're not there yet. Revelation 6:8 on the fourth seal says that a fourth part of the earth is killed. Destroys the fourth part of the earth. So if we had to isolate ourselves, we're somewhere between the pestilence and the fourth seal. How long do we have? Well, I don't know. And that's why you have to pay attention. You have to see where God takes us. You can't try to imply you know where he's going next, because you don't. When you look at Joshua and he told Joshua, going into the promised land, we are going into the promised land, are we not? It's called the kingdom of God. So when we look at the duality, the former physical, the latter spiritual, we're moving in just like Joshua. He says, listen, you haven't been here before, so pay attention and follow me. That's what we're doing. We're following where God takes us. We just don't know when it begins to move. You know, when Joshua crossed the Jordan, they sat there. They didn't move. They had to wait for God to tell them when to move. All probability, it was at least 6 months. Because you see, the next stage that they begin to move is the walls of Jericho that falls down, which pictures the return of Christ. The walls of Jericho, they're going in. So if that was the case, then they were there for 6 months. Remember, there's a period of time that Joshua was walking around the wall trying to figure out what's going on. And he came across the servant of God, they call him. Remember? So why was he doing that? Because they didn't go in yet. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. And God came to him and told him. So here we are. See, I could take this picture now and I can move it right or I can move it left. Because I don't know exactly, but I know where God's taking us. And I know he's given us enough information that we need to be patient till we get there. And we do know this. We haven't received the persecution of the elect yet. So we know we're not there. But we're going to know when we get here. Why? Because there's going to be a pestilence, a bomb, a war, or all of it put together, that a fourth part of the earth is going to be destroyed. Then you got a pretty good grip of where you're at in time. But until then, we are somewhere up in here that God's still giving us time to do the work. All right, you with me? All right, everybody with me on that? Okay. So now what we have done, we've isolated a lot of information. You know what we haven't done? We haven't prophesied. I haven't given one prophecy of where we're going. You know why? Because we don't need to. God's already told us. He just says, now you just pay attention and I'm going to take you. And so we're ready to go. So what are we looking at? By the time the persecution comes, then we know within 3.5 years. We know in 3.5 years. Now look at this. I just throw this in and we'll talk about this just a little bit later. This just came out just yesterday. Bone chilling. The feds are launching a system to collect religious information on the unvaccinated. I don't know if you saw that yet or not. Why is that important? Because if you paid attention to our previous sermons, what happens is that we're beginning to look at, when you see the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. Everything we're looking at now is not the mark of the beast. But I told you, it is the foundation that's being laid for the mark of the beast. Remember that? It had to have a trigger. So now, what are we looking at? God now is showing us is that the information is now moving into a period of time that could become a mark of the beast. Because once they have a religious list of going on, who's going to use that? Well, the government's going to use it. They just spent $400 million to give to all the states to begin to compose a list of all the medical things that can be reported back and forth to the government, which you can believe they're going to make one big federal list. They told you they're not. Then why this? Then why this if you're not going to make a list? So now what we understand is that we move to a next phase. It now becomes spiritual. That is the danger, and that is the clue that we needed to wait for was coming to the next phase. It's here. It's beginning right now. We told this year this was going to happen all the way back October 3rd, 2020, in this News Nuggets and Insights program. That is online. Write the date down. You can go back and you can look at it where we go in detail, where the Pope was beginning to line it all up, to move it and to line it all up. This was from the Day of the Lord sermon I gave back in 2019, and we showed back then what to look for moving forward from the information God gave us. Here we have in 2019, this is the Pope taking over and uniting all the religions so that the whole world can become under one person. Why do we know that? Because Revelation 13 and 17 tells us that. He's going to deceive the whole world, and one man's going to rule them all. He's going to be the Pope, and he's going to use the beast power to be able to do it. He told us, you know, there's one thing about Satan. He tells you what he's going to do. Nobody understands and believes it. He does. He knows he has a short time. Back in May 2014, we said in 2019 that this was coming, that he's going to re-educate the entire world. Remember? Remember old Greta? Old Greta. How could you forget old Greta? How dare you? Remember that? What an obnoxious. You just want to take and put over your knee and spank her. It's like, my goodness. Anyway, she had the ear of everybody around the world. Around the world. He said he was going to be orchestrating next year. He's talking about the future. Then they came out with this. Health experts warned that the disease could kill millions within 36 hours. And we asked the question, are we at the beginning of the seals? Because this is what they said September 27, 2019. The warning delivered that week was the world leaders at the UN. That General Assembly, by a special global health monitoring group, said that the next pandemic would transverse the world in 36 hours, killing up to 80 million people. Well, that had a good chance of getting accomplished. What we didn't know back then was this. We didn't know, but was only 2 months away. This was in September. October, November, by the end of November, the disease had already left Wuhan. It was already beginning to go around the world. What we did know is that the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto you till he consume you from the land. We didn't know that was already in the works. It was already in their laboratories. And by September, the end of September, they said it could happen. By November and December, it was on its way. We didn't know it was going on right there. But they targeted it and said it was coming. Changing. Unifying the world. That's what he said he was going to do. He was going to re-educate the world. He said that in 2015 when he was here in America. Pope, he was going to relaunch the Global Compact on Education, he said. Look what the Bible says. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his ten horns are the crowns, and upon his head was the name of blasphemy. This man believes that he is God on earth. When he sits in that seat, that he is infallible. He can make no mistake. In fact, the Bible warns that he says he believes that he is greater than God himself. You see in Ezekiel and Isaiah, said that he rise up and said that I will be like God. On earth, they say he is God. Now he's telling us that we don't need Christ. We just need to be human. Humanism is the term they use today. By 2020, we gave this warning. From all appearances, the battle lines have been drawn and a plumb line has been dropped. We began to wonder that it appeared that there was a breach in people's thinkings. We can look back now 2 years and say, yeah, there was a breach. It breached the walls of people's minds. Amos 7 says, when that time comes, there's a warning. He said, he showed me, behold, the Lord stood and made a wall by a plumb line, and a plumb line with his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And he said, a plumb line. Then he said, Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. Has God drawn a plumb line for this country and said it's over? I believe it has. I believe the time for people to repent and to change on a global scale as a nation has passed. Because you see, both sides, no matter whether you're Republican or Democrat now, they all agree that you can't talk bad about the gay movement in our nation. On a national sin, that is the final breach between people and God. All right, so we're moving now to a one type of society. If you preach against that, the laws will be changing. You will be put in jail. What's going on? So God showed us there was a plumb line. COVID-19 was the means by which this breach became. We saw in 2020, we saw riots, looting, burnings. We saw the weather, some of the worst in years. The election of 2020, who moved in a left politician to be able to bring in all of the evils that there was, not that there wasn't evils with the right, there are, but moving in the policies and practices that make it illegal to follow God the way we want to. And most importantly, we saw the re-education of the 2030 agenda come into play. And I bring this up because we need to move your heads out of politics, because see, it doesn't matter. Politics is not going to save anybody. 2022 is not going to save anybody. 2024 is not going to save anybody. You need to understand only Jesus Christ is. Certain things will move, will hasten and slow down, or will increase things as we move through. That's all that's going to be. But did God draw a plumb line? Are we more positive than ever before? Well, let's ask the question about last week. A year ago, they did the first of the five-part series they're doing, that if you do these five things, this is how you get back to God. Well, the first one was in Washington, D.C. There was about 100,000 people showed up. Last week, there was about 3,000. Try to imagine that. 3,000. Is that a nation? They call it a nationwide renewal of our beliefs. Is that a nationwide renewal? 3,000 people, is that it? Think about it. All right, so now let's move on. By October 23rd, the Holy Mass was an encyclical with the Pope, and he brought this out. This is where he brought in the United Nations to give them real teeth. In other words, the whole world needs to come under one government, so the United Nations is going to put them in, but we need teeth to be able to put into play what they have. I'll keep an eye on my time. All right, so we began to see in the 21st century, the first time, is taking power and turning it over to all the governments. In the 21st century, we're witnessing a weakening of power in nation states, chiefly because of the economics and the financial sectors. So now what we're seeing is that because of the sickness, all these nations now are becoming poorer and poorer, and they can't fight themselves. So given that situation, this is from quotes, they said it is essential, this is coming from the Pope, it is essential to devise stronger and more efficient, organized international institutions with functionaries. What is a functionary? These new words they want to use, it's new government leaders. That's what that is. That's what a functionary is. How do they get there? They're appointed. Who appoints them? The UN. Well, wait a minute, we're under a constitution. Yeah, but we've given up the Constitution as a nation right now, and you're going to gradually see a move to support UN resolutions that will continue to move in our nation. What does that got to do with religion? Nothing. It's got everything to do with Satan taking away your freedom as a believer in God is what it's got to deal with. So now, is there going to come in through, they're going to be appointed, it says, fairly, by agreement among national governments and empowered to impose sanctions. Oh, really? What are we doing now? This was in 2020. Sanctions. We're under sanctions everywhere you go now. That's what's going on right now. Functionaries, right? These functionaries, who they say are appointed fairly, are empowered to impose sanctions. It's no longer of the people, by or for the people. It's for our own good. We have to let the government tell us everything. You see what's going on here? Satan uses that to be able to remove the spiritual freedom God gave us as a people and a nation. And more importantly, as a called out one for a son of God, is what you're looking at. So moving on. Now we're in a period of quarantine stations coming. The CDC website reveals that police power will be used in quarantine stations for the benefit of society. When we heard that before? Hitler did that. When he took over in 1933, how did he know who to go arrest and put in prison? There was the list that they made for the people who didn't agree with the government. They had all of that in place. They didn't go after the Jews right away. They went after the people who didn't agree with his policy and government. And they had prisons already built and established, and they put them in by the tens of thousands. Government dissidents. The CDC website, this is their own website, reveals that police power will be used in quarantine stations for the benefit of society. This is no longer a conspiracy. This is written in black and white on their website. Didn't say they can. It says they will be. Why? Because they know there are going to be people who's going to rebel against it. In addition to serving as medical functions, here we go, a functionary. Remember we just heard that word, a functionary? What's a functionary? Well, it's a person who's going to carry out the will of the government. Isolation and quarantine are also functions of police power, derived from the state's right to take actions that affect people for the benefit of society. How many people now hate a person who doesn't have a vaccine? You have a right not to have a vaccine if you don't want it. But if somebody else finds out about it, they're going after you. You're the one who's causing all it. Doesn't matter that the many areas that people are going into hospitals who've already been vaccinated twice and even got a booster still get sick and go in. Doesn't matter. You don't have a vaccine. You were told to get a vaccine. Pretty soon you're going to be wearing that star like they did in Germany, unvaccinated. All right, there's a bill filed now, it is in Washington, strike force to involuntarily detain unvaccinated families. Hey, like that. In Washington, there's a bill now, you don't get vaccinated, they can put you away. The Washington State Board of Health now amend the state law to authorize involuntary detainment of residents as young as 5 years old for into what they're calling internment camps. I'm not making this up. This is copied and pasted from their websites. Copied it right out and pasted it. Didn't change a word. For failing to comply with the state's experimental vaccine mandate. How do you like that? You don't get it? Well, it's an experiment. You don't get it? It's tough. Go to jail. There's the numbers of the law that's being passed. The WAC 246-100-040. So if you can go back and you want to document it and check it out, there it is. Now, this was in Quebec. Quebec to impose significant fines on the unvaccinated residents. Now if you don't get it, they're going to come fine you. Quebec makes vaccination mandatory under threat of significant fines. In prison time up there too now. Quebec is the first province in Canada and only the second in the government in the Western world to make vaccination mandatory for adults under threat of financial penalties. I never thought I'd be given a sermon on a Sabbath about this kind of stuff. But you see, this is where we are today, being able to understand what's actually taking place. The federal agency now is making a list on personal religious information of vaccine objecting employees. Now there's a religious list. If you thought you can get away from the vaccine under religious objection, now the government says, send me that name and address. Why did he want that? See, what we said in the weeks and the months and the years past, to get to the mark of the beast, it has to move to a religious overtone. Everything I'm telling you today, I'm not telling you because it's physical, is because this is where it's going. This is what God told us to watch for, to be prepared. That's where we are today, and that's what we're watching for. The Federal Administration Agency will start to collect personal religious information of its own employees who object to taking coronavirus vaccines for religious reasons. That is where it starts. It will not stay there. The Pretrial Services Agency for the District of Columbia announced on Tuesday its intent to create a pretrial agency for the District of Columbia Privacy Act System of Records, the Employee Religious Exemption Request Information System. That's where they're going to first. Here, this is a headline from the Christian Post. Biden's plan to list employees with vaccine religious exemptions in database raises eyebrows. All right, so you paying attention to what this is. This is a religious base. Now it begins to raise eyebrows. On Tuesday, when that came out, this came out. This is in Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser. This is crazy what they're doing. As of this day today, they're required, if you leave your home, you must have proof of vaccination if you're 12 years old. If you're over 18, you have to have proof of vaccination and a photo ID. Pay attention to that, a photo ID. And you have to have a mask. If you leave your home in Washington, D.C., according to this mandate by the mayor, that's what you have to have. Can't tell me that the mayor doesn't have that power. Audrey and I tried to go get a dinner in a New Orleans restaurant. Let me see your ID, your vaccination ID. Well, we haven't gotten vaccinated. You can't come in. Get out. Twice. We tried two different restaurants. Get out. You can't come in. Who did it? The mayor of the city. She put out... Is she a functionary? Used to be a government official, right?
Yeah.
No, she's a functionary. And that's what this lady is doing. Now, pay attention to that, what you have to have, right? Vaccination and an ID. All right, on the same day, on the very same day, the Washington mayor vows to put out that mandate starting Saturday, today. You can't leave home without your photo ID. The President Biden was in Georgia for voter reform. One of the points was that if you required photo ID, you're no better than a racist or equivalent to being Jeff Davis, which means you're a Confederate of the United States. Here you have to have it to leave home, but if you ask for it to vote, you're an anti-government person. On the same day. You see how this... Why is that? Because to control the voting, you put in power who you want in place to carry out your laws. That's the only reason that's going on. That's what's taking place. On the same day, the Department of Justice launched a new domestic terrorism division. All this took place on one day. The Department of Justice announced on Tuesday that it is creating a new domestic terrorism division. The Assistant Attorney General Matthew Olson revealed the new division during the testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee focused on the nation's domestic terrorist threat. That's being carried on from something that came out many, many months ago that we brought out and we'll show you. Here's the headline, bone-chilling, feds launching, collect religious data on the unvaccinated. And the Biden administration are making lists for religious vaccines. The list is being created by a small agency storing massive fields that the information about religion will be misused by the federal government. All this is being taken place. If you disagree with it, now you become a terrorist. We brought this out in June 25th of last year. All right, let me back that up again where we're at. See, right here on the very top, new U.S. Domestic Terrorist Committee formed. They formed the committee months ago, and now they have a department who's going to handle it. Now it's going into play. Who are these people? Well, these people that they went after to begin with were parents, school board people, who were in there fighting for their children against what the government was trying to bring into the system, the LGBT, the anti-racist propaganda. All that's coming in, so they said, we need to stop that. And so now they have a division calling these people terrorists. Tens of millions will be labeled as dissidents, as we said. This was from Merritt Garland in the Department of Transportation. Garland emphatically wrote notes that January 6th protest was equivalent of the 9/11 terrorist attacks in New York and in Washington and the 1995 Muir Federal Building bombing that killed 168 people. So what they've done is they've used something that should have never happened. This should never have happened. And when I saw it that day, I put my head down and said, this is never going to go well. I mean, so in essence what they did is they gave the enemy everything it needs and every tool that it needed to accomplish the will of being able to put the hands on the throat of God-fearing people like you and I. You know, it's no different than it's been throughout time. So now, the coming showdown. The period we're in now as a war is referred to as the staging period. See, they understand that because of Russia, as I brought earlier, staging against the nation they want to invade, right? So it takes place during the period of the siege when the territory of the town is surrounded and weakened. So then they begin, as they begin the assault, they have to begin to move different things into place. Following the breach and before the assault begins, everything is repositioned for the attack, and that's what the period we are now spiritually. The breach has been taken in people's minds. And the only people who's not following are those who still hold fast to the values that God gives us. So now the government is moving things into place for the staging that it needs to begin its assault. So if you remember in the earlier slides I brought up in that chart where I put the star was between the breach and the assault. We are in that period of time now spiritually. It is the beginning of the repositioning. We're seeing laws being changed. Lawlessness being redefined. Have you noticed that the district attorneys now, how they're changing the laws and they want to go after the criminal? They had a person robbed a store this week in, I believe it was New York, twice with a knife, cut the guy in the stab with him, and then they want to charge him with a misdemeanor and turned him loose. Turned him loose. Robbed the store with a gun, with a knife. But because it wasn't a gun, they call it a petite crime. What is a petite crime? Something just made up, you're right. Something just made up. Laws is changing. The Bible says you'd be in a period of lawlessness. Iniquity shall abound, that's lawlessness. Lawlessness shall abound. So now we're seeing the new task force being established to go after those once considered as patriots, churches and Christians, the now on the radar as subversives and terrorist. That's not made up. Here's another one. This came out this morning. Follow the money. You always know what's going on if you follow the money. Because see, these people who are in the know, how did these politicians become so rich? Nowhere else on earth can you take a job, pay you $100,000, and stay in office for 8 years and come out with hundreds of millions. They get to trade, by the way, legally, on whatever laws they're about to pass. So they position themselves, them or somebody they trade with, to make those decisions. So when they pass the law, they'll know if this company rises or it falls. And they'll position themselves either to catch the money on the rise or to do puts and to buy it on the negative going down, and they make money either way. And they get out of there rich. So follow the money. As of this morning, there's a storm coming. This was the headline from Stanberry Research. Now, understand, in the article, they eventually want to sell you something. I understand that. But this part that they've gone through, and they've always been good with their facts. All right, this is what they wrote. In just the past few weeks, a number of strange events have begun to play out in the financial markets. First, this says, without almost any zero explanation, this is going on. Nobody can explain what's going on. CEOs and corporate insiders are selling their stocks at record numbers. Now, if you see a company who's a CEO selling his stock, why is he doing that? Well, either he's raising money to buy other stock or he knows something's coming. They haven't seen this much being done in over 10 years. 10 years ago, it was interesting. It was 2008 to 2010, the stock market. We just about went through a crash, remember? They see something's coming. Cryptocurrencies have had their worst year since they ever started. That was the safe money. Rise the money, catch it when it goes up. Now cryptocurrencies aren't the safe haven anymore. And we've seen over 4.5 million Americans have quit their jobs. Just in the last few weeks. Quitting their jobs. Why are they doing it? Well, they get more money with the government. And the wait times for computer chips are the longest they've ever been. See the price of cars, how it's going up? The computers, they can't get computers out. Well, China controls it all. Oh, we're building factories now, but that'll be 2 or 3 years before they ever get built. So everything's changing. Separately, they said, all of these events seem totally disconnected, but together they represent a huge wrecking ball. Are we moving into the siege? Yeah. See, everything's being repositioned now. They've positioned themselves with laws, with people, and with money for this next move out of the breach and into the attack. And you can begin to see this nation will not have a good year. I don't care who you listen to. There's nothing there that's going to make it a good year. Counting the cost, this is where God takes for you and I. Luke 14, 27 through 32 says this, "Whosoever does not bear his cross cannot come after me and be my disciple." So here's what I'm telling you today. Everything I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ has laid out before us in black and white, and he told us it thousands of years ago, and is written in the Holy Bible today that it's coming. The reason you know the information today is because God wants you to count the cost before you undertake the job. I said, look, don't take this job if you ain't going to hold fast. You know, he said, you better just turn around and walk away. But here's what I'm telling you. God's given you an opportunity for eternity with him. And he wants you to count the cost and be willing to pay the price. He said, which of you intends to build a tower doesn't sit down and count the cost if you have enough to sufficient and finish it? Lest happily after he laid the foundation that he's not able to finish it. And everybody begins to mock him, saying that this man be able to build and he was unable to finish it. Again, God uses the physical to help us understand the spiritual. What I'm telling you today, you got a chance. God's given you, if you're listening, if all those who are looking at this online, whoever sees this video down the road, and I hope you share it with everybody you know, because it's important. This isn't just religion. This is life. This is now. This is here. This is today. And it's telling you where you're going and what you need to do to get there. And God's given you a chance that if you understand any of that, to turn to him, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and he will help you through all that lies ahead. God says when we get to this stage, and this is what we were doing last week and we're going to begin to do till Christ returns, Isaiah 58 and verse 1, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And that's what I'm doing today with you. And that's what you need to do every day of your life. God tells us the beast of Revelation now, and I'm beginning to wrap this up. The beast of Revelation in chapter 13, verse 1 and verse 7, said, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. We saw that beast beginning to rear its ugly head in 2015. And he did it right here in America. And he did it in the White House on the Day of Atonement, the most sacred day of God's year, in the White House with the president. And then he went to the legislature. Then he went to the UN, and he finished up in Philadelphia, and he left. He came to America. He told us in advance what he's going to do. It was the 2030 agenda. He showed us that he's building a counterfeit millennial reign. That's what he's doing. He's going to change everything. He's going to re-educate the world. And he was going to lead us to utopia. He told us that right here in America. And upon his horns were 10 crowns. And upon his head was the name of blasphemy. And it was given him to make war with the saints. So now we see the final battle lining up. The beast raising up his ugly head, going after God's elect before the return of Jesus Christ. We at the end time that's spoken of by Daniel. It says, in the latter day in the kingdom, when their transgressions have come to the full. And I put that in yellow, when their transgressions have come to the full. Because see, that has a tone of something that happened in the past. A prophecy that God gave to Abraham. So as a king of fierce countenance and understanding, the dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully. And that word wonderfully means like, whoa, like amazing. How can he do this? And for us, it's terrifyingly. He shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. So he said to Abraham, this is where the comparison comes from. This is when God began to lay out his entire plan for salvation. It started with Abraham. Is there any wonder they're using the Abrahamic Accords? Because that's where it all begins. That's what Satan has got to destroy, the promise God gave to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Whether you're born an Israelite or you're grafted in, it doesn't matter. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a spiritual Israelite. One nation, one people, one law. So Abraham, he said, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in the land that's not theirs. He said, but in the fourth generation shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I believe God gave this nation a period of time. I believe 2020, in that election, was that period of time that God dropped that plumb line that I showed you. I believe the time is past now for the nation as a whole to repent. Those who are trying to get it to repent, we saw what, 3,000 people turned out? Well, last year there was at least 100,000 of them. So what's next, 300? I don't know. I just don't know. Daniel's vision of the elders, this is in Daniel. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked them the truth of all of this. And so he told me, and he made me to know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, and they shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So God's showing us when all these things take place, there's going to be this incredible battle. Satan will not win. He may overcome the work we're doing now, but God Almighty will step in and he will save his elect and he will usher in his kingdom. In verse 20, and the 10 horns which were on his head and the other which came up before the other three fell, and even that horn had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Every time you see where it seems like Satan wants to overcome, you see God reinforcing that he will not win. He will not win. But you need to understand that and you need to count the cost. That means there'll be a coming period of time that you're going to have to go without things. It's not going to be as pleasant as it is now. There'll be times that we'll have to realize the struggles that was going to come this whole world, that we'll take part of that and count the cost and hold fast. This is given him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And it will look like he's a victor, but he is not. The summation of this whole matter in Daniel 26 and 27, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, and to consume and to destroy into all the land till the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the king under the whole heaven, and shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Here's the conclusion. Are we at that time of the wearing down of the saints? Are we at that time? I gave this sermon back in 2010. I gave a sermon on the subject and I asked that same question. And this is word for word that's written down in the sermon from 12 years ago. According to the biblical interpretation, we are not yet at that time that we see in Daniel that the little horn rises and wears out the saints. In 2015, I began to believe that all changed. So in 2022... to answer that question, we will have a clearer answer within the next 12 months where we are. But from all appearances, we could be at the beginning of the prophetic period of the end time that the Bible refers to as the wearing down of the saints. Two more verses. 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. So what we're about to go through, God says, don't think it's strange. Be prepared. Be ready. Count the cost. Because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And here's the thing. God says, if you hold fast, he says that he can help save your family. There's going to be a time that your family is going to understand that what you said is true. And who knows what protection God will give to your family. In the final verse, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So there we are. Are we at that time of the wearing down of the saints? I honestly believe we're at the beginning of that stage. And I showed you 12 years ago, I said, no, we're not there yet. I believe everything we're looking at today, we are at that period of time that we're just beginning that final phase of God's deliverance, His saints, in the return of Jesus Christ. Thank you.